Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
Hello there, everybody. You're very welcome along to the show this evening. Coming up, not to make you feel old or anything, but it's 20 years since Arsenal against Manchester United in 99 in the FA Cup semi-final replay. So given events this Friday, we're going to talk to Martin Keown, who, like many Arsenal players, should have just failed Ryan Giggs. We've got Wednesday Night Rugby with Matt Williams and Keith Wood. It was the Six Nations launch over in London this afternoon. We'll bring you some of what Joe Schmidt was saying and Eddie Jones and Conor O'Shea as well. And on the football show, you may have seen pictures of the likes of Jim McGuinness and Robbie Keane and Damien Duff and Andy Reid and various others embarking on their pro licence course in Enfield. So Andy Reid is going to join us on the football show. We'll talk to him about what that course is all about and how he sees his career in management going, if he wants to get into management. I presume he does if he's going to the trouble of a pro licence. 53106 is the text number. We are at Off The Ball on Twitter. Richie is here, hello.
Hey Joe.
And Kevin Kilbane, hello.
Hi Joe.
20 years, Kev, 20 years since Beckham scored and then Bergkamp equalised and Roy Keane got sent off and tossed his captain's armband away. And
so many listening tonight won't have a clue, won't remember it, will they?
And then Patrick Vieira picked out Giggsy. It's a dreadful pass from Vieira. That's the most shocking thing of all. And then they never fouled him. And then
Lee Dixon, by the way, is the most culpable, I think, for
he
not
is,
fouling
him. Yeah, two nibbles, Dixon.
Yeah. I think Vieira, actually. As soon as you give it away, your head goes, you just got to come over and just trip him.
At that time of the game as well. Just take him out.
Just trip him.
Clean him out.
Yeah.
You know, it's very evident. It was evident in our meeting. The way the lads were talking about the match, several of the lads were talking about the match in our meeting today, is the way I talk about the 1982 World Cup. You know, it's like, oh yeah, that thing that I didn't experience or see. You know,
it's a remote beast.
And there was actually a pitch invasion afterwards. They lifted them up on their shoulders. Yeah, I know. It was like yesterday to me. It was an amazing game. I mean, Manchester United around that time had played Juventus at Old Trafford on the 7th of April.
Yeah.
1-1, Ryan Giggs at the back post with that last minute equaliser. And then 4 days after that, nil-all draw with Arsenal in the initial FA Cup semi-final.
I do not remember a thing about that game. Generally, don't. I mean, I probably would have been playing that day, but I don't remember a thing about that game.
That one hasn't lived long in the memory.
I don't think I watched it. I don't think I didn't. I didn't see any of it.
That would have been still like a day set aside for semi-final.
No, it wouldn't have been. No,
because in 99.
Once you get to the semis, that would have been in the season. So there have been a full fixtures. I probably would have been at West Brom. I would have imagined. No, I might have just moved to. No, definitely I would have been at West Brom. So the season's fixtures still would have been going. Once you get past the fifth round, then they just have normal fixtures on cup weekends every single league, yeah.
Regardless, 7th of April, Juventus at home. 11th of April, 4 days later, Arsenal in the FA Cup. Replay, 3 days later, 14th of April, they're playing Arsenal again in this absolute epic.
And but they constantly had those runs of games. Like even the last three games of the season that United had that year were just amazing when you factor in it was like FA Cup and then onto the Champions League final. Like, it was nuts.
Yeah, that's right. It was FA Cup, Spurs, and Champions League final.
Was it? The other way around, maybe? Those first two? Did they have a break after the Cup final?
I think Joe would remember.
Yeah.
He was the average United fan in 99. Yeah.
No, they had Spurs first, then the FA Cup final.
Against Newcastle.
And then the Champions League. Because Nicky Butt famously dropped from the FA Cup final because they had no midfielders. Paul Scholes and Roy Keane were gone, so Nicky Butt didn't play. Beckham played in central midfield in the FA Cup final.
Did he?
Yeah. Mm.
Very good.
All irrelevant now, but yeah. Martin Keown's going to join us in about 15 minutes' time. It will be very interesting to get his recollections of that evening. Dennis Bergkamp missed the penalty, and I was just reading a quote there from Arsene Wenger, who said that Bergkamp, after that particular miss in basically the last minute, Schmeichel made the save. Bergkamp never wanted to take a penalty again.
Mm.
He did take the odd one, but he effectively felt so damaged, he said to Thierry Henry, over to you. And realised that. So we'll get Keown's thoughts on all of that. So it's a slightly abbreviated news round. The Six Nations launch over in London this afternoon.
Yeah, Joe Schmidt saying that Jonathan Sexton will be fit for the start of Ireland's Grand Slam defence. The World Player of the Year hasn't seen action since suffering a calf injury in Leinster's festive defeat to Munster at Thomond Park. While Sexton may well be fit for England's arrival at the Aviva, Schmidt admits he's facing somewhat of a headache with his second row.
Gathered for them. Ian Henderson has six weeks out, comes back, man of the match in a massive game for Ulster. Ty Byrne, he'd had two clean turnovers. he was playing incredibly well against Exeter, who were physically formidable, and he was hanging in there, doing a great job. He's got line-out acumen as well. And so that, you know, those two guys are a loss. But the one thing I would say is, you know, Alton had been really good in his previous game against Sale, and Quinn Roo had been super for us in November. So, you know, that's what we're trying to have. We're trying to be able to substitute guys in that aren't too far off, and we're already in competition with the guys that we're missing.
He was also saying Eddie Jones was throwing a few grenades around. He walked by Eddie Jones, he was saying, in the corridor at one stage, and Jones said, "I'm just going to go and throw a few grenades now." And Schmidt just, I suppose, had to laugh.
It's something that Jones then denied. He was like, "What grenades, man?"
Yeah, what's he talking about? Don't know what he's talking about.
Don't know what you're talking about,
man. Rory Best was there?
Yeah, Captain Rory Best also spoke with our Stephen Doyle in London today. The Ulster skipper backing his province's decision to ban for life a spectator found to have abused Racing winger Simon Zebo.
Yeah, look, I think there's no place in that in rugby. There's no place in that in sport, and actually in society at all. And I think it was good that Ulster were very quick to act, you know, to interview basically all the season ticket holders to get all that pile up, and then to take reasonably swift and very severe action. I think it sends out a message, and I think as a player group, having not been there, but I know as a player group that we don't find it acceptable what was said, and the way it was said. And look, it's a game of rugby, and I think the actions from Ulster were great and to be admired.
Yeah, the search for the missing plane carrying the footballer Emiliano Sala has been called off for the night. Officials say there's been no sign of light aircraft, and it's now a recovery operation rather than a rescue. Sala and his pilot David Ibbotson have been missing since Monday night. Cardiff chairman Mehmet Dalman today says the club spoke with Sala, asking if he wanted them to arrange a commercial flight for him to head to Cardiff, but Sala declined and instead made his own arrangements.
Gerry and Limerick wondering about the away game to Juventus. That was on the 21st, so that was a week after the Arsenal replay. And then Kevin and Leitrim rightly points out Keane and Scholes were in midfield in the cup final. They were suspended the following Wednesday.
Keane went off injured.
Beckham was on the right. Yeah, Gary Speed tackled him.
Yeah,
and did his ankle ligaments.
Yeah,
Keane's. So actually, yeah, Keane and Scholes did play in the cup final, and then Beckham was on the right. Nicky Butt didn't
Champions
play at
League,
all.
Yeah, it was the Champions League final when
Beckham was in the middle.
Both out. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So what was the midfield? It was Beckham and Butt, and it was Giggs on the right and Blomqvist on the left.
Was it
for the Champions League final?
Yeah,
it didn't work at all.
I know, I remember that.
Yeah. And then as soon as Beckham went down to the right, him and Neville started just doing their thing again. But it did, the Beckham Nicky Butt thing didn't work very well because Giggs was on the right as much as anything.
What can you do? Because the midfield that night was brilliant.
Well, you lose Keane and Scholes. They're both good.
Yeah, not bad either.
But they had Mehmet Scholl, Mario Basler, both in place.
Was Effenberg knocking around? Was, I think.
No.
Sure?
Effenberg came back, I think, the year after. I think the midfield that night was like Basler, Matthias and Scholl. Possibly Sally Hammond's knocking around in there.
They're not as good as United. No,
If this was Scrabble, I would be challenging.
Effenberg definitely captained and scored like the winning penalty in 2001. I think he was still a Mönchengladbach that year.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
I think he's still at Mönchengladbach.
No, you're wrong. You're wrong. Effenberg was there, definitely. I have the team here.
Yeah.
Effenberg was there, yeah.
All right, fair enough.
I distinctly remember him, the pained expression.
See.
And the amazing blonde hair.
It's the Sammy Kufour pounding of the ground, though. That's the
Isn't
iconic
that
image.
Unbelievable.
Of that
night. Yeah. The pain.
Manchester City, meanwhile.
Best year ever.
Stop it, will you? Manchester City will formally seal their place in the League Cup final tonight, taking a 9-0 lead to Burton Albion for the second leg of their semi-final. Youth right through the starting 11 for City tonight. Aaron Muric is in goal, back four of Danilo, Philippe Sander, Eric Garcia and Alexander Zinchenko. In midfield, Fabian Delph, Phil Foden and Kevin De Bruyne. 18-year-old Ian Carlo Poveda is in a front three along with Riyad Mahrez and captain for the night, Sergio Aguero. Two more 18-year-olds on the bench in Taylor Richards and Felix Mecha, along with the returning Benjamin Mendy. Kickoff at the Pirelli Stadium at 7:45. Former Ireland midfielder Stephen Quinn is returning to the Burton starting 11. Gonzalo Higuain won't play in Chelsea's semi-final second leg with Tottenham tomorrow night. His move from Juventus is due to be completed this evening, but his paperwork won't have cleared in time for him to line out at Stamford Bridge. While Chris Forrester has returned to St. Patrick's Athletic, the midfielder left the Richmond Park Club for Peterborough in 2015 and had his contract terminated at his request by Aberdeen just yesterday. Forrester has signed a 3-year deal at Richmond Park, the latest player to sign on under Harry Kenny.
It's an amazing one, isn't it? Chris Forrester going back, really.
Yeah, the statement from Aberdeen yesterday, alluded to personal issues with which he was dealing. We don't know what they are. I think a return home had been mooted for a few weeks. There have been rumours of this for a while. St. Pat's obviously came in with the best offer for him. He's going to be there for next year. A brilliant signing for them.
Yeah, it is. Great signing for them. I mean, I saw him, was it 3 years ago? You said when he went over to Peterborough. And then he played in that famous cup game against West Brom. He was at the game working that evening. Man of the match. Looked really good against Premier League class. And
rightly got a call up to train with the Ireland squad around that time.
Yeah,
too.
It is.
Sport Ireland today expressed their disappointment with how the Russian data delay has been handled. Yesterday saw the World Anti-Doping Agency absolve Russia of further sanction after finally retrieving vital data from the Moscow laboratory. Russia had originally missed the December 31st deadline to hand over said data, but WADA maintained Russia's compliance. Sport Ireland Chief Executive John Tracy saying today that Russia continues to show flagrant disregard for WADA by missing the New Year's Eve deadline. Tracy adds that it's difficult to maintain faith in the international anti-doping system with how little meaningful action has been taken against Russia.
So Barcelona have won the race.
Splashing the cash. Highly sought after Ajax midfielder Frankie de Jong is joining Barca. They've paid €75 million to Ajax for the 21-year-old, but it's a fee that could rise to as much as €86 million with various add-ons. It had been believed that de Jong was close to a move to Paris Saint-Germain in this window instead. De Jong signed a 5-year contract at the Camp Nou and will officially join on July the 1st.
We'll touch on that in the football show. Really looks like an exceptional player, De Jong. And then Serena Williams.
Yeah, she's refused to blame an ankle issue for her Australian Open quarterfinal defeat to Karolina Pliskova. The 23-time Grand Slam winner had 4 match points in the third set while leading 5-1, but conspired to lose that decider 7-5. Pliskova will face the US Open champion Naomi Osaka in the semi-finals. Osaka beat Elina Svitolina in straight sets. Williams turned her ankle while serving for the match for the first time after the incident. She failed to win a single point on her own serve. And meanwhile, men's top seed Novak Djokovic remains on course to win a 7th Australian Open title. 8th seed Kei Nishikori retired hurt with a thigh injury in their match while a set and 4-1 down. Djokovic will face Lucas Puy in the semis, with the Frenchman already further than he's ever been in a slam. While Crystal Palace goalkeeper Wayne Hennessy has been charged by the Football Association for appearing to make a Nazi salute in an Instagram post, the Wales international denies he was making the Nazi salute in the picture posted on the Instagram feed of teammate Max Meyer. If found guilty, Hennessy could be banned for 5 games.
Thanks, Richie. That's your slightly shorter than usual news around the scene. We're getting to Martin Keown in just a moment. I want to tell you as well, this week we've teamed up with the Irish Heart Foundation. I think you've heard about this at this stage. They want you to show some heart for the perfect match. Challenge a rival to a charity football game in aid of the Irish Heart Foundation. Sign up at irishheart.ie/perfect match. And it would be for a good cause as well. And we're getting involved, we're doing the same thing. So we're giving you the chance to get involved with us, with Kevin Kilbane in a 5-a-side game, be managed by John Giles or Brian Kerr. To be in with a chance of winning, all you have to do is make a donation to the Irish Heart Foundation. Make sure you use the hashtag OTB Irish Heart, and we'll pick someone to go in the draw tonight. And then the final draw will take place on Sunday. So obviously, if you're entering, you need to be able to play in this match on Monday the 28th of January at midday, and we'll have the final draw on Sunday. So do get involved, hashtag OTB Irish Heart. Short break, and then with Arsenal hosting Manchester United in the FA Cup this Friday, we're going to reminisce with Martin Keown about 99.
Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.